This morning, I'm going to be in the book of Habakkuk, so you can do a little Bible drill if you want to look it up in the Old Testament and see if you can find Habakkuk, but it's in the bulletin as well. And I'm going to be picking up at the end of Habakkuk this morning, Habakkuk 3, verses 16 through 19. So hear God's word, Habakkuk 3, verses 16 through 19. And the setting of this is that if you look at the book of Habakkuk, which is really short, recommend it to you for your reading, Habakkuk is in this back and forth between him and God, where Habakkuk opens the book lamenting to God about the injustice and unrighteousness that was dominating God's people at that time. He asks God questions about how this can be. And he asks God even more questions when God says that God is going to begin dealing with this by bringing judgment on the people of God first, before bringing judgment on the pagans who are going to bring that judgment. And there's this back and forth in the book. And then God finally speaks to Habakkuk in the preceding verses. And now at the end of the book, Habakkuk responds again to God. So hear God's word from Habakkuk 3, starting at verse 16. I hear and my body trembles. My lips quiver at the sound. Rottenness enters into my bones. My legs tremble beneath me. Yet I will quietly wait for the day of trouble to come upon people who invade us. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places to the choir master with stringed instruments. Please pray with me as we come to God's word. Let's pray. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you that you have not left us in the dark about who you are, but that you have spoken to us, that you have revealed yourself to us through your word. I pray that you would open our hearts and our minds and our wills to you, and that you would change us and transform us this day by the power of your word through your spirit. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to ask you, the title of the message is basically finding hope in the new normal. Where's your hope in the new normal? But before we get to that, I want you to take a trip down memory lane to this time last year. And I know maybe we don't want to think about this time last year, right? But Thursday, March 12th, kind of around that time, was the day that a lot of aspects of our normal everyday life began grinding to a halt. I'll never forget where I was as things started to grind to a halt. I was at a Dick's Sporting Goods in South Park trying to buy running shoes for myself. Little did I know, I guess the opportunities for running maybe I'd have during the pandemic, that of course, like so many of us with our resolutions, I didn't really run all that much in the pandemic. It was kind of sad, but anyway. I was at a Dick's Sporting Goods buying running shoes before meeting with our interns for dinner when I got the alert on my phone that Mecklenburg County had our first case documented of COVID-19. And then I got another message on my phone that Queens had decided to move to all online instruction for the rest of the spring semester. And of course, at that time, right, the way that some of this was presented to us was, you know, 2 weeks to stop to slow the spread and to flatten the curve. And of course, that 2 weeks became a much longer journey than any of us could have anticipated. And I bring up the pandemic kind of thinking about suffering because the pandemic is sort of this common experience, right, of adversity that you and I have been through in the past year. But as you think about your life, you have other experiences of adversity, too, that maybe you're kind of struggling to come to grips with in terms of a new normal. Maybe it's the phone call with unexpected bad news, the strained relationship that you didn't see coming, another bad news report about something else happening in our culture that made you sad, the terrible medical report, the loss of a loved one, the return of unwanted anxiety or depression. We can think about a lot of these situations, both macro, big picture, out in our world, and also the micro pictures of adversity and suffering in our lives, right? Well, why do we have to go back? Why do we have to go back on that trip down memory lane? Especially as our collective suffering maybe is starting to look up as we're making the turn, right, maybe towards more normalcy and a return to more of a normal life. Well, I think certainly it's okay to go through the suffering process and feel like, hey, we're starting to make progress, whether that's in the big picture or whether that's in your personal experiences of suffering and loss. But I think sometimes there can be a trap for us as we move into the new normal to forget where we've been and to forget the things that God has been teaching us, however uncomfortably and however painfully, in the times of suffering. And so today, as we ask ourselves, where's your hope in the new normal? We're going to see how Habakkuk is responding to God in hope as he is both beginning to emerge from his experience of suffering, but also as he knows that more suffering and more adversity are going to face him on the way ahead. Okay, so the main question for our message is, where's your hope in the new normal? And we're going to look at some answers to that question from the text of where God invites you to find your hope. The first thing we see is, in the new normal, find your hope in the greatness of God. In the new normal, find your hope in the greatness of God. We see this in verse 16. Right, as I've mentioned, Habakkuk, if you go back through the book, he has wrestled with God about a lot of hard things. It's such a powerful picture in Habakkuk of the greatness of God and the sovereignty of God and the love and the compassion of God towards his people that God condescends to the prophet Habakkuk to listen to Habakkuk's cries. He listens to Habakkuk lament, how can God's people be unjust and be so wicked? He listens to Habakkuk lament about how long, O Lord, how can you let these things be? How can you let a pagan country be a part of dealing with the sin of God's people? And God has still communicated hope in the previous verses to Habakkuk that through this judgment, God is going to bring salvation. And that this judgment that is coming on God's people through the Neo-Babylonians actually points ahead to a greater day of redemption and salvation that's going to come that we know through the rest of the Bible, right, ultimately comes in the person and work in Jesus. And Habakkuk, he's asked these questions, he's had God respond, but now at the end of the book, you almost kind of feel him being a little bit drained, but also him being overtaken by the greatness of God in verse 16, where he says, I hear about this vision. I hear about all God's going to do, and my body trembles. My lips quiver at the sound. Rottenness enters into my bones. My legs tremble beneath me. Yet I will quietly wait. He says, I will quietly wait for this judgment of God that is ultimately finally going to bring salvation for God's people, as God also promises in the book to finally deal with the Neo-Babylonians. And as you think about it, in the face of adversity in life, right, our hearts are always going to be unsettled when we think that our circumstances are greater than God. We'll always be unsettled when we feel that our circumstances are greater than God. And certainly, there are going to be moments where we feel that. But part of the hope that Habakkuk invites you and I into is that as we lament those things of suffering to God, as we go back over the memory timeline of the things that have been hard over this past year, or maybe in different ways for some of y'all, many past years, right? That God presents himself as a God who is greater than our worst circumstances. And he's also a God who is greater than our best circumstances, right? Because he is the giver of every good and every perfect thing. Habakkuk invites us to experience a different reality of reminding us that God is greater than our circumstances, and that our hearts will only be settled when we submit ourselves to the greatness of God. Sometimes just being really quiet and saying, like Habakkuk, all I can do is quietly wait and quietly submit to this great and good God that I'm not sure what's happening here, but I know that he's great. I know that he's good. I know that he's in charge. Bring you back into this as we think about the new normal, right? Because it can be so easy, I think, whatever micro experience you're coming out of, but also in the big picture of what we're coming out of in the pandemic, that as you start to return to normalcy, to start to go back to some of the lies that especially as I look at my own heart, we're so easy to believe, right? About thinking that we're in control of our lives. You know, that the things we put on our calendars are our destinies, that our dreams and our goals, set the expectations that should drive and grip our hearts. It can be so easy to live that way, right? Whether it's our plans or running what is so often the rat race of life in the city of Charlotte, of trying to keep up, trying to achieve our goals, trying to do the best we can. It can be so easy to go back to that. But part of the experience of what we've all been through in different ways in the past year is as we begin to move towards more normalcy, to strategically remind yourself of the greatness of God and to ask God to help you to not lose a heightened trust in his sovereignty, to not lose a little more of that sense of, you know, I'm not going to say, actually, I'm absolutely going to do that tomorrow or the next day, but if the Lord wills, I'll do this or that, right? So I'd encourage you, find hope in the greatness of God as you begin to emerge in the new normal. And think about the practical steps you can take to weave into your life to continue to bring yourself back to that reality. Camp out in a psalm like Psalm 145. I think it was Calvin's favorite psalm that lists so many of the attributes of God. God's greatness, God's lordship, God's mercy and his compassion, his nearness to his people. Spend time in a passage like Isaiah's great heavenly throne room vision at the beginning of the book of Isaiah, of the God who is holy, holy, holy. Pray diligently that God would help you to not forget some of these lessons that you've been learning about his sovereignty and his presence, even in challenging circumstances. Think about how you're using your time, right? That you're making sure you can prioritize, of course, Sabbath and being at these central focal points of the means of grace and corporate worship, but also ways that the ripple effects of that can go into you growing, continue to grow in a lifestyle of worship, and that you're continuing to bring people in your family and friendships, that you can talk about your struggles. You can pull each other continually back in your lives to talking about the grace of God. And it's so easy, as we start to enter more normalcy, it can be so easy to forget some of those things. But part of the hope of this passage is to say we can continue to be driven by the greatness of God, whether our circumstances are good, whether your circumstances are not so good. Okay, so in light of being finding hope and being gripped by the greatness of God in the new normal, it takes us to our second dimension of finding hope in the new normal, which is this. In the new normal, find hope by accepting your circumstances as God's plan. Find hope by accepting your circumstances as God's plan. We see this in verse 17 as Habakkuk transitions into this closing prayer/hymn of praise. And, of course, he's going to land, verses 18 and 19, in rejoicing in God. But as he starts off in verse 17, he goes through this progression of saying, really from kind of the luxury things, the fig tree, the fruit on the vines, down to the more we could call them like the food line items, you know, the herd in the stalls, the more basic, less fancy provisions. He runs through this list and he's basically saying, look, God could take away the fanciest things in my life. God could take away more of the basic necessities in my life. And Habakkuk is saying, I can still trust God with these things. Now, where does the challenge come in for you and I thinking about the new normal, right? We've gone through a year where, and again, there's a spectrum of our experiences and our perspectives on the things that have happened, right? But to varying degrees, we've all had things taken away, right? There have been the events that have been canceled. There have been relationships that have been constricted. And of course, you can look at the micro picture of things in your own lives and see deeper challenges than that in your circumstances. But the invitation here is to find contentment in God, regardless of what your circumstances are, to find contentment in him, that whatever your circumstances are, whether you find yourself in the time of tragedy or the time of malaise, the time of shutdown, the time of nobody in the world is wearing a mask again and we've forgotten that we've gone through a pandemic, that whatever circumstance you're in, that is part of the plan unfolding of a sovereign and a good and a loving God. So I encourage you to think about, what are the spiritual challenges for you as you emerge into the new normal? And again, think about whether that's maybe personal experiences that have been hard for you, but also think about in the big picture of the pandemic. As you think about the big picture of returning to life in the new normal, and I kind of see this with some of my students. I think there's a spectrum, and they're kind of extreme sometimes. On the one hand, I think there's some people who, as they look at things emerging back into normalcy with circumstances, they want to do everything. They want to be out and do everything that they can and get as much back to normal as before, and maybe even like go at a higher speed of life than they did in the past because they've missed out on so much in the past year. You know, as the kids say, the FOMO, right? The fear of missing out can creep in. And I think it's important that you know yourself. Like, are you a FOMO kind of person? Are you driven by, wow, I want to make sure that my circumstances and my experiences are so good that I don't miss out on the things that I want to do. I don't want to miss out on my goals or the experiences I want to have. You could also think about this, you know, whether you're leading a business, whether you think about the goals of the church emerging post-pandemic, it can be easy to think as well, like, wow, we're coming out of this time of being really restricted. Everything is opening up again. Let's go hard for our goals. Let's go hard for change. Let's go hard to achieve these things that we haven't been able to achieve in the past year. And it can be easy to set your hopes on those things. For others of you, maybe you've been really afraid about all these things, whether it's big picture, whether it's the micro picture of suffering in your life. You think, wow, can I actually go out and do things? Can I actually make plans again? I'm kind of scared to make plans, or I'm kind of scared to be in relationship with people. Or maybe you're just like, I'm just exhausted by the past year or the past whatever amount of time you put on in your life. Again, not all of those things are bad in and of themselves, but the question is, are you putting your hope in any kind of circumstances? Are you putting the hope of your heart, the trust of your heart, the focus of your mind on any kind of outcome of a particular circumstance? Are you placing your hope, are you placing your trust in the fact that whatever place you find yourself in, a sovereign and loving God has ordained that circumstance? And if you're his child, he is using that circumstance, even when it doesn't feel like it, to bring you into conformity to the image of his son. You can be in the circumstances, you can set goals, you can make plans, you can pursue relationships, all those things are okay. But you can also choose to not be defined by those circumstances or to place your hope in those circumstances, right? Habakkuk says, hey, I'm going to be in this place of trusting God and praising God, whether the fig tree is blossoming, the delicacy item, right, which also has these echoes of the people of Israel, whether the fruit is on the vines or not. You know, you can think back to March and, you know, all the silly stories and memes that came out about the toilet paper disappearing, whether we have toilet paper or not, whether you achieve your plans for a vacation or not, whether your relationships look the way that you think that they should at this point or not. Can you entrust yourself not to, you know, think about like the stock market, right? There's always the tension between the bears and the bulls, right? Kind of the eternal war. Are we bearish or bullish about this? Saying, actually, our trust can be, however the circumstances shake themselves out, that God is working out his best for his people because he sent his son for you. That you can find hope in whatever those circumstances are because you know that Jesus is standing with you in those circumstances by his Spirit, and that Jesus is at work, and Jesus never abandons his people, even in the harshest of circumstances. You think about how terrifying it must have been for Habakkuk of thinking, the Neo-Babylonians are going to come. The Neo-Babylonians are going to deck us out. And yet, he still responds because he has this confidence in Yahweh. He knows the God of Israel. He knows his glory and his goodness and his love. And he says, man, he can take it all away, and I still trust him. As you think about yourself, as you think about the deepest, darkest places of brokenness and sadness in your life, the past year, the years past, God is saying, I'm still with you in those circumstances. I am still the same God in those circumstances. Trust me that I'm still here and I'm still for you in those circumstances. Well, this takes us to the last dimension of finding hope in the Lord in the new normal, which is to find hope as you delight in God. To find hope as you delight in God. And it's like, wait a second, Josh. What have you told us about this book, about these cries of lament, about the sadness? How does he end with delight? I mean, how else do we believe the Bible, right? I mean, it's here. You don't get this anywhere else. This is how he ends. Yet, verse 18, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. How does Habakkuk come out of the whirlwind and the tragedy? How does Habakkuk find hope? Because he knows that God is his. He is clinging on to God as his strength, as one who can give him joy, regardless of what's going on. That God is the God of his salvation. That ultimately, these situations of hardship and of tragedy, they don't have the last word. The situation of the circumstances, even the best circumstances in this life, they don't have the last word. Because God is going to bring an even greater glory to his people in the end, because he is the God of your salvation. I think about like our covenant children who are here, whether, like from middle school all the way on up, who can kind of process some of this. It's a great thing for y'all to think about, and I mean, extending into young adulthood, if you're raised in the church, right? Of Habakkuk saying, you know, God the Lord is my strength. It's a personal trust. It's a personal conviction. And something for you to think about. If you're one of those covenant children, where are you at in making that faith your own? Are you asking your parents or the elders, Pastor Nance, questions about the things that maybe are tripping you up in growing in that faith? What does it look like for you to move towards making that faith your own? But for those of you who have been around the faith for a while, you know, thinking about joy, you know, I think it's just so easy for us, especially through hardship, even in good times, maybe especially in good times sometimes, to lose our joy in God. I don't know if you think about, like, I always think about the new car smell. I've never really bought, like, a brand spanking new car before, but my in-laws bought a brand spanking new car a few months ago, and, you know, like, smelling the new car smell, right? And how, like, how good that smells. It's kind of an odd way, because it's like this, you know, leather or whatever, but it smells so good, right? It's the newness. We love the newness. You know, you think about the thrill of the honeymoon period of marriage, or the thrill of buying your first house. Or you think about, you know, I don't know, whatever your toy is that you like to, you know, play around with, right? The newness always pulls us in. But first, the challenges come when the newness starts to wear off, right? And in the normal Christian life, so often, like, that newness with God can so easily wear off, and then hardship comes in. But Habakkuk reminds us, look at how great God is. Look at how great he is, that he is the God of salvation, that he is the God who is going to undo and finally respond to all the injustice and all the unrighteousness and all the wickedness in the world. He is the God who has come to redeem you from your sins. Your trust is in Jesus. He is the God who doesn't leave his people, but he's the God who's come to be your strength. And I'll close with these two just powerful images that hit us. As they sound weird to our American ears, right? But verse 19, he makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. And the image of the deer here is like the quick female deer who could outrun, you know, the pursuit of the predator. He's saying, you know what? I can trust in God and I can delight in God because I know whatever else is happening out there, whatever difficulties are going to come, whatever trials with sin that I'm going to have to fight against, God is going to help me outrun that predator. I was watching The Lion King with my kids. And it kind of makes me sad as a child of the 90s. I have like the live action Lion King now. And like, that's not the real Lion King. Come on, what are we teaching the kids these days? Right, but it's kind of cool to see kind of in the live action, you know, CGI, I guess, of like, you know, the lions fighting with each other and the hyenas being in pursuit of the antelope or the water buffalo, I guess. And you think about how terrifying it is. It must be to those animals to react and, you know, like a predator is coming for you and is probably going to, like, you know, get you. So often life can feel that way, right? Whether it's in spiritual warfare, think about our sin. The circumstances are out there. As you go into the new normal, again, where is your hope going to be? Is your hope going to be that you can control the circumstances, that all the circumstances are going to be good? Is your hope going to be, you know what? God is with me. God can help me outrun the worst enemy, because Jesus has come, right, to defeat sin, death, the devil, and hell. The other last image, he makes me tread on my high places, is this imagery of being placed above the fray in battle, like being placed on the highest rock, the highest mountain, and then you look over the battle, and like you're in the high place, you're above the fray. You see the battle going down there, you see the carnage of war, and I wish I was taller, you're way up here. You're above the fray. And brothers and sisters, if you are in Jesus, it's so hard that you are in the fray. I am in the fray. But the reality is that you are seated with Jesus in the heavenly places. You are above the fray. You can't be touched because your life is hidden with Christ and God. And the invitation of finding hope in the new normal is to say, you know what? I want to pursue more of that reality in my life, that I'm going to live like who I am. And the opportunity for you as a church is to continue to encourage each other to say, wow, what have we been through? Where might Jesus be calling us to go? But to remember that that's not dependent on how the circumstances shake out. And we pray for good circumstances. We pray for fruit and for growth, right? Personally and as a church in our country. But the hope is your life is hidden with Christ in God. That if you cling to Jesus, you're going to have hope. They can't be taken away. They can't ultimately be shaken, no matter what the new normal looks like. Let's pray. Our Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the hope that you give us, Lord Jesus, because of the redemption that you came to purchase for your people, that you promise to never abandon us, that you come to be our strength. So help us to look to you. Help us to set our hearts and our minds on you as our only hope in life and in death. Be with us as we continue to worship and as we begin to go out from worship into the rest of this week. I pray these things in your name. Amen.